You're listening to the Training Dummies. With Hand.
I'll look up the Hand spell. And let's say it's a dot that lasts for 10 seconds.
The 34 accurate.
And Hotbox.
You can actually feel the tip.
Just the tip?
I may need to turn that intro down a bit. But anyway, welcome to episode 54 of the Training Dummies, recorded on December 3rd, 2013. My name is Daryl, but you can also call me Hend, a resto shaman with a sky golem and a legendary cloak. I really recommend you get one or both. With me, as always, is Rob, also known as Holloway, a brewmaster Lady Panda monk tanking our flex team. After a long hiatus, we've come back in style, bringing along someone who goes out of his way to go places out of the way. It's Skulnik of Warcraft Less Traveled, Warcraft Well Read, and professional couch crasher on Dark Moon Herald. Wow, that's a mouthful. Hello, sir.
Hey, how's it going?
Doing good. Doing good.
Thanks for having me tonight.
No problem.
Yeah! Out of my way, but you realize that I'm mostly lost half the time. Out of my way, because I'm lost. That's why.
Don't tell anyone. They'll never know.
I get it.
Right. Yeah.
You can make a career out of it.
Yeah.
Man, we are rusty.
We are. Remember, you're the green. You're the green.
Okay. Green text is... All right. Skulnik, thanks for coming on the show, man. I know it's been a long time coming for us to get back and record again, and we've been talking about having you on for a long time now, so it's really, really, really cool to have you kind of back as our triumphant return here. So,
cool.
Thank you so much for coming on.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate you extending the offer, and actually, I know, as you mentioned, we've been trying to do this for a while, and just the schedules just weren't meshing up, but it turned out that I'm actually traveling as part of work, and I'm in L.A. this week, and so it's kind of nice to be in warm weather instead of cold, snowy Ohio, which is where I'm normally from. And so this has been a nice getaway, and I have the opportunity to be on with you guys tonight. So thanks for having me.
No problem. But yeah, I know all about that cold and snowy, because that's all I've had for a while now.
Yes.
Yes. Fun.
Well, Mr. Skulnik, we got a couple of kind of opening interview questions here before we jump into it.
Sure.
How about how, when, why, where did you start playing, and what is your current main?
My current main and when I started playing, I ended up starting playing with a group of friends along with my brother back in 2007. It was during the end of Burning Crusade, but I'm telling you, I didn't play this MMO like you should. I really was an extremely casual player. We would get together to quest once a week. It was really a once a week thing where we'd spend about an hour, hour and a half in game, and progress extremely slowly for about a year. So I really didn't even get to end game until either the end of that expansion or even into Wrath of the Lich King when it kicked off. So I've been going since then, and my current main in recent months is actually the same paladin I started back then. It's a dwarf paladin, and it's been the one that I've been kind of taking raiding and flex raiding and enjoying it again. It tends to be the one that I always return to at some point during an expansion to just kind of get leveled up and kind of push through to the end.
Right on. All right, so everyone knows you as Skulnik. What is the origin of the name Skulnik?
Oh, the origin of Skulnik. Okay, so I'm a fan of rock music and metal, and I'm a guitarist as well. And there's Alex Skulnik, the one guitar player from Testament, and he's on a Trans-Siberian Orchestra and does a lot of jazz stuff. Phenomenal guitar player, one of my idols. And it tended to be back in the 90s when a lot of the video games were kicking up that had the, I don't know, it was Ultima Online and Neverwinter and any type of a game where we got to choose your own name of your character. Skulnik ended up being that one that I used once, use it again. And it just was one of those I continued to choose as my tune name. So that's just kind of how it started. And I started podcasting and kind of getting involved into the Wild community, I just kind of ended up taking that as the persona, because that tended to be the standard rather than using like your full name or your name. It just was easier to use your character name from in-game. So that's how I kind of came around and using it.
Right on.
Yeah, that's awesome. We've got a fellow guitar player, I guess. I guess all three of us are guitar players, huh?
Yeah, nice.
I know. Wow. Hands and his boy were taking some lessons.
I don't know if I'd call myself a guitar player yet. But, yeah. Starting. Beginner.
I'll vouch for you. I played in bands and toured for a while, so I'll pick up your slack. I'll carry you.
Cool. Good. Carry us all.
Nice.
Well, Skolnick, how about a little bit about you then? Besides being on the Training Dummies, what other community involvement do you have?
Besides being here on the Training Dummies, I have a podcast that's kind of been quiet recently, but it is a Warcraft Less Traveled. It's a podcast that's primary goal is to talk about a lot of the lesser known, forgotten, and kind of special and secret areas within World of Warcraft. And there's things from forgotten NPCs to secret quests, hidden destinations, a lot of things that a lot of players either don't know exist or once upon a time were kind of important to game and important to players. But as the expansions went on, people have forgotten about it. New players have turned have started the newer expansions and never visited a lot of these old things that existed in game. So that podcast kind of talks about a lot of those locations and kind of acts as a travel guide and as a time capsule to a lot of these areas. Besides that, I'm on two other podcasts. One is called Warcraft Well Read. It is a book club for the World of Warcraft books. I do it with Epsana, who is also on the Dark Moon Herald, which is another podcast that I couch crash on quite often. So two other good podcasts that you definitely got to go check out. And the great thing about the community is that there's a lot of interaction. And just like you guys, you have me here tonight. And it's so much fun to talk about a game that we all love.
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
And I'm hanging around on Twitter talking about all kinds of crazy stuff all the time. So that's always fun.
Is this me? Yes. I got two questions in a row, man.
Yeah, well, because we took okay, fine. Boxers or briefs? I'll throw it in there.
Oh, we're going to go with boxers.
All right, there we go. Boom. Hey, Rob, you're up.
Yes. let's kick it back over to Skolnick then. What have you been up to this past week in and out of the World of Warcraft?
World of Warcraft this week and the past month since BlizzCon has been really time to focus on my alts. It seems to be to me that this is the time of year, the time of the expansion where things are transitioning, the final patch comes out, and yeah, we can definitely flex raid, we can do all that end of game content, but man, I have been neglecting a lot of my alts because I don't play as much and I don't have the alt awesomeness that you have, Rob. I know I don't quite have that. But for me, it's time to, other than my two mains that I kind of bounce between that are at 90, it's time to start leveling the ones that I've neglected the entire expansion. And so that's kind of what I've been doing, is slowly but surely logging in, getting that rested XP, taking advantage of some of the, the anniversary experience extra XP buff that you can get, and just kind of getting these things up to snuff. That's kind of how I've been spending my weeks. How about you, Hand? How have you been doing your week?
Oh, well,
4 weeks.
I'm going to kind of go back a little bit farther than that, since it's been just about 2 months now. So,
yes, get in the Wayback Machine.
Tell us. The Wayback Machine. Out of game, I took on a fairly large project. Actually, it was the Monday after our last show, which was Canadian Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
I decided to do renovations on my living room. I don't know why I shouldn't have done it, but, well, I'm glad it's done. It took a little longer than expected. But I gutted the whole room, took out the carpet, put in a nice laminate floor. There was wood paneling on the walls, took that all out, drywalled it. Probably the biggest thing I did, and I've never quite done anything quite like this before, but there's a fireplace on the back wall, and I put in two windows, one on either side of the fireplace. Both are there 5 feet high by 3 feet wide, and it looks really good now that it's done. And well, I can't really see how much it brightens the room because it's dark when I leave for work and it's dark when I get home from work. But my wife tells me it really lights up the room during the day, having those windows in there. So in game, we have been flex raiding every Friday as normal. That's been going very well. We've completed, I think, I could say right now, we have part one on farm. Definitely on farm. We're taking alts when we do that now. We've Great. Completed part two twice, or no, sorry, once. But we haven't gone back yet because everyone in the raid seems to dislike part two the most. So we haven't done that.
Just me.
No, I really want the mace off the Dark Shaman, but I don't want to go back into part two to do it every week. You know, I'm torn. Part three, we've killed Malkarak once. I wiped on spoils a bunch of time, and then this week we wiped on Malkarak a bunch of times, and then we went back and just did part one again quickly with alts, just so that we could say we killed something. What else have I done? Oh, I have my Sky Golem. I really recommend you get it. It is awesome. It is so awesome. Best mount in the game by far.
Glad you got yours so you can start working on mine now.
Right.
One for everybody.
That's about it. Logging in, doing my daily cooldowns. I try and get that done as much as possible, but when that doesn't happen, it's usually because I'm just tired in the evenings. Feels like I'm getting old. I can't stay up till midnight every night anymore. It's terrible. Terrible.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah. That's what I've been up to the last couple months. Anyway, so Rob, what have you been up to?
My wife and I used the IRL Recruit a Friend feature, and we added a little mini me to our family. So I am now the father of a little girl. Thank you.
Yeah. Congratulations.
No, I did my part.
Oh, no, I think we lost Rob.
Are you there?
I don't know. We are now, but we lost you for a second.
Weird. Okay. Well, I now have a little boy and a little girl. So I think my family's complete. And I spent a couple of weeks just not playing WoW, which was pretty nice, you know, just doing the family thing and whatnot. And then we kind of fell into a pattern at home here pretty quickly, got back in game, and started working on my monk tanking again. And that's been pretty stinking fun. I really I'm really glad that the hand kind of pushed me into moving forward with that a little bit, because I was just going to Death Knight tank it, and we were talking one day, and he was like, "Do it, dude! Do the monk, do it!" So we're doing it, and we won't bore you with rehashing what Hind already said. But I did. I guess a couple of people really do like part two of the Siege of Ogrimmar. I don't know why, but it's not my favorite by any stretch. But I don't know. What we do with our flex team though is actually extremely flexible, and we are allowing a lot of people to come and go as they please, and I do think that makes progression a little more challenging when you've got different people all the time at different skill levels who may or may not know the fights, but we're still having a lot of fun, and we are making progress. So by the time the Emerald Dream finally comes out, I think we will have cleared Siege of Ogrimmar.
Nice.
So I think it's not Emerald Dream?
Well, I don't know. That could be 3 years down the road. We don't know yet.
Jaina's Revenge? I don't know what we're doing. Can we make a pact right now not to call it WOD?
I call it Warlords. I call it Mists. Yeah. It's not Mop and it's not WOD.
Yeah, and I know Molson and Dangle like to call it Warlords, and I appreciate that. So, if you guys don't listen to Bitter and Salty, you definitely should. Those guys are awesome, but they call it Warlords, and I believe even though they may have coined that before anyone else got to it, and I support that, and I appreciate that.
Yeah.
All right, we're gonna start with or move into the mail, and we have a little treat for you guys as well with that.
Holy crap. The dummy bag.
Oh yeah, new mail bumper.
That's great.
All right, we got this one. Or so Rob tells me, because I completely forgot. We got this one shortly after our episode with Amy Jade. And it says, "Hey guys, the Warlock show was really interesting, although my brain hurts after it all. Amy Jade mentioned Sparkhug's YouTube channel. Just wanted to add my recommendation. Big grats to Method for the world first garage kill. The vid of the fight is awesome. One interesting thing in the garage kill is that he did that fight in destruction spec. Usually people consider it a beginner spec. I disagree with that completely. It is the awesome spec. I'm pretty sure that's exactly why he used it in the garage kill, because it is the best spec, as far as I'm concerned anyway. But it has its place at the top level too when the right situation comes up. Also, in almost all of the siege fights, the top 3 DPS are all locks, because locks are awesome. With Sparkhugs at the top, of course. Nice to see Warlocks get their day in the sun after being downtrodden in Kata. Cheers, Ed." Well, thank you for that. It was a lot of fun to talk to Amy Jade. And yeah, he likes to talk about Warlocks, so it made for a very informative show. I still haven't figured out Affliction or Demonology. I think I'm going to need like one-on-one time with him. But I plan to do
it
one day.
It'll be hard. It'll be hard though, because you know, it takes a lot to get him to come out of his shell and to kind of talk and explain right. things. So
yeah, could be rough.
We do have another email here that says, "Hey guys, you're awesome." I could just leave it at that, but I better expand a little. "I played from Vanilla through Wrath, bailed just before Cataclysm landed, and have only recently returned to the wonderful world of WoW. Coming back after 2 expansions has proven interesting. It's weird being terrible in PvE, but vividly remembering how I used to tear it up. While getting into various sites, mainly with WoW Insider, trying to catch up on lore, I somehow stumbled upon you guys. Never listened to the podcast before, but now I'm hooked. Thank you for the genius that is the Training Dummies." Like, I can't even read this. It makes me feel all the feels. "Episode 53 was awesome and hilarious. Having rolled an undead Affliction Warlock is my first character and forever my heart's main. I really enjoyed listening to what Amy Jade had to say, even if it did highlight just how much of a noob I am. Okay, I'll wrap up the feedback with I love Kim, and I could listen to her talk PvP all day long."
I think we all could.
"Cheers, James, a.k.a. Sinodras of Negrand." Thanks, James. That's awesome. We really appreciate it, because brushing off everything now, we're coming back in here, kind of getting our bearings again. So this email is perfect for this show. Thank you so much.
Yeah. This is, well, we're already seeing the show's going a little rougher than we're used to. But yeah, I think we're just a little rusty, that's all. Anyways.
The gnomes are fighting.
Yes. Okay. Well, I think here, we'll hit this.
"Hey, everybody. This is Amy Jade from Warlockery.com, one of the most boring and long-winded guests of the Training Dummies with Hend and Rob."
Definitely not boring. Maybe long-winded.
No.
But it's just because he's excited about the topic of discussion. Anyways.
And knowledgeable. Always knowledgeable.
Exactly.
I know, right?
It's amazing listening to a guest like that who has like a true understanding of the class, and I just listen to the detail and to what, you know, what he knows. I go, my God, I don't know how to play at all. I just don't know how to play.
Right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and he had mentioned too.
I think I listened to that one like a couple of times, and I didn't even want to play my lock afterwards. I just felt like it was just crazy. It was
it's time to, yeah, really, at that point, it's time to just delete your warlock. Just do it. No.
All right. Well, let's get started. Let's get on to our topic of discussion tonight, which is Warcraft less traveled stuff. So do you want to lead us in this discussion, Skolnick?
Sure.
Thank you, sir.
Why not?
All right.
So why not?
Yeah, why not? So as you mentioned earlier, I got this podcast called Warcraft Less Traveled, and in general, it's a show about the lesser known areas of Warcraft, and it's all about. And the reason why it exists at all is because I'm a terrible, terrible MMO player. I approached World of Warcraft as a single player game, and as I mentioned, I was playing with a bunch of friends and my brother, and they very often wouldn't show up to quest. And so I would just kind of, as we're leveling, we would just kind of have nights like logging on a Monday and they wouldn't show up. And I didn't really realize that there was more to do in game, that I could kind of quest on my own and do things. So I ended up looking around and exploring and just spending a lot of time alone playing a solo game that should be more MMO based. And as a result, I kind of just had this wanderlust of having to see what was around the next bend over the next mountain, and started eventually documenting a lot of the things that I'd found. And some of them were just, you know, NPCs and locations that I wasn't sure if anybody knew about. Or I would spend times where I'd go to the coast and swim all the way around the coastline, all the way up, and just to see what was around the different areas. Because, you know, we didn't have flying back then. And this is, you know, long before those kind of times, where a lot of what existed in game that were interesting were templates and things that the developers, the Blizzard developers, may have placed up in the mountains in areas where they didn't really want players to go. Because if you recall that before flying, there were a lot of zones in between zones,
right,
that weren't, you know, weren't really accessible. So in general, I tried to create a podcast that created time capsules of these different areas. And I never podcasted before. I was just your standard player who wanted to just kind of share some information. And I noticed that a lot of podcasts that existed about World of Warcraft at the time, there was, you know, World of Warcast with the Starman, and I think Ren was the host at the time. There was All Things Azeroth, and a lot of the ones that were around at the time were long hour, 2 hour podcasts. Mm-hmm. I didn't have that kind of material, but I thought if I can create little small snippets, 5-10 minutes, that would explain how to find some of these locations, what's there, and, you know, what kind of things would be fun to see here, and just created them as time capsules, knowing that with the Cataclysm, a lot of these things would go away forever. And so that's kind of what kind of prompted me to try my hand at podcasting. And the great part about podcasting, I don't know if you guys would agree, is that with the onset of podcasts becoming popular, and it brings a lot of the community together, and you just get the ability to talk to other people that you wouldn't have otherwise. And so it's turned into a really fun thing to become part of. And so from Warcraft Less Traveled, it turned into Warcraft Well Read and Dark Moon Herald and all the other great podcasts that I've come to be part of, and gotten great friends from those as well.
Yeah, I agree. Like, it's definitely for that aspect, I'm glad we started doing this.
Because
that's actually one of my favorite things is getting to talk to all these different and interesting people on our own podcast. And everyone we bring in is, you know, generally excited about the topic that we're discussing. So definitely it's been a pleasure for me from that regard.
Right.
I don't know how many times I got to listen to the Cheers segment, and I immediately logged in and went and, you know, found the little area you were talking about and wrote. I mean, now, of course, we got flying mounts and we've got all these things, you know, that just kind of, you know, take away some of the grandeur of it. But still,
yeah.
I'm like, oh, cool. You know, I heard him talking about this little area in this forest, and I got to go check this out, you know. So,
yeah.
I mean, I've been a fan of your segment for years now. It's always
cool.
A great listen.
Yeah, I can't agree more with that. One part of that is, you know, as I mentioned and you just alluded to, is, you know, we have flying now. But once upon a time, everything was ground mount. And so the world was smaller. The areas were a little bit more mysterious. And I do have a feeling that when flying was introduced, some of the magic of the and mystery was kind of lost in some of these places. So now you can just jump on your flying mount and get there. Where once upon a time, the airfield that's to the north, what is it, the northeast part of Ironforge, God, the only way to see that would either be as a flyover on a Griffin Or there was one little small passage that you can kind of jump and jump and jump and then kind of get a foothold and then climb through the mountains. And you'd be able to get up to this airfield, and you would just be the only person at this airfield, and you would think that you're somewhere that you shouldn't be, but it was just kind of a little more special in some ways. But yeah, that's the it all stems to I'm not a good player. I'm just not – I have – unlike, you know, some people who know their warlock specs and know how to raid really well and do a lot of great things, the part that I enjoyed a lot was just kind of learning about what was out there and try to take note of it and try to share it with others if I could.
So how do you find all of these locations or all of these interesting tidbits that you do on your podcast? What resources do you use, or is it just straight exploration, or you're lost? Let us know.
I think lost is more like it. Truth is, a lot of the earlier ones, if you go back to my earlier segments from years ago, were about me spending a lot of time looking and just opening my eyes and swimming around the entire zone, trying to climb over the mountains into areas I necessarily shouldn't go. And like some of the examples would be, there's Newman's Landing. There's this cabin that's sitting north of Westfall, north of Stormwind Harbor. That's along the coast. It's this cabin that's sitting in the middle of the zone. I think it's west of the wetlands, south of the wetlands, but it's on the coast. There's no reason to go there. However, one time I was swimming along the shoreline and I stumbled across this cabin that would used to take about 20 minutes to swim up from Westfall when the Stormwind Harbor didn't exist. And I stopped there, just looked around and thought, and it actually had a sign on it that said Newman's Landing. Why was it placed in game? Why the developers decided to put it there? I don't know. But I just took note of it, and a lot of other places like that were just accidents, just happy accidents that became exciting and kind of took note and tried to create a show about it. And if in fact I would find a place that was interesting, I would try to look online to see if there was anyone else who had seen it. Sometimes there's other people who had some information that, oh yeah, I saw this as well. But a lot of these places were not necessarily broadcast or weren't well known because people were too busy raiding and doing endgame stuff. But
silence.
I can also silence. Hey, there's more. But there's more. I can also say too.
I think I muted myself.
Oh, that's okay.
Nice.
Yeah. But yeah, in addition to this, the exploration part of it, a lot of the things I try to document as well are some of the fun quests and some of the interesting, NPCs that are placed in the game as memorials or as mementos to people who may have died and had some kind of significance. Like, for example, there's Ezra Chatterton was the boy who got to visit Blizzard, years ago, and he was part of the Make-A-Wish Foundation, and he died of brain cancer. And as part of his journey to Blizzard, he did one of the voices for one of the NPCs that they use in-game. And so if you go to Mulgore right now, there's Ahab Wheathoof is one of the NPCs who's a quest giver and gives you the quest, Kyle's Gone Missing. And if you talk to this Torn, there's this big Torn who's standing there banging up a sign. But if you click on him to accept their quest, you hear a little boy's voice talk to you. And that's Ezra, who Blizzard was nice enough to put his voice as the NPC. And so you're actually getting a quest from Ezra. And so his voice is forever in game. And it's a great, great thing and a great memory to his life that, that you can always still go visit him. And so he gets a quest where you get to go try to find his dog. And if you find the dog that's romping around the zone there and you click on it, then you complete the quest and make Ezra happy. So there's little things like that are NPCs that are not necessarily places that are scattered all throughout this game. The developers took time to place there that if you only take a moment to try to find them, they're there for everybody.
Do you ever, when you're cruising around, do you ever find anything that's just like a dead giveaway to you? Like you see like, oh, there's something over there. There's something going on. I need to go check that out. Or do you find that it's more random or more hidden or...
Let's see. some of it's both, because some of it's random that I stumble across something and I go, whoa, what the heck is this? But a lot of times I end up failing more than I do succeed, where I'll find something that I think that there must be something here, something more to it, and there isn't.
Yeah.
There's nothing special, but every once in a while I stumble across something that I'm really excited about. And just then I think, oh, I can't wait to write this down and share it. But yeah, every once in a while it's a surprise.
You spend like an hour scouring an area to find out that there's really nothing there. It's
like a yeah.
tree in a fire.
Yes. What does this mean? Well, it was one of the fun things that I made a mistake, and I talked about on one of the episodes, is that I was looking for something else in Wowhead, and I was trying to find, I don't know, whatever the number is that brings up the NPC or the item, and I accidentally found the something called the, was the Dunmoro tree. And I thought, what the heck is a Dunmoro tree? And there was no information other than it existing in the database. I said, well, I'm just going to fly around with my NPC scan looking for the Dunmoro tree until I went up and down and up and down and back and forth and up. And eventually my NPC scan went off for the Dunmoro tree. And I'm like, what? I don't see anything. There's no, why would there be a tree that's a specific NPC? And just so happened on the west side, a little subzone, that there's no quests, there's no people, there's no reason to go over there. There's two dwarves that are kind of, that have run up the tree, two NPCs that are sitting at the top of a tree being chased by a bear. It's in the west part of little valley of Dunmoro. And you can just, if you sit there and watch them talk, they're arguing back and forth at why they got chased by the bear, and now they're up at the top of the tree. And it's just, it's a little scene that's there for absolutely no reason. There's no quests associated with it. There's no achievements. There's no reason to actually have it in game, but the developers took the time to add these things into game to kind of make it more real and give, I don't know, flavor to these areas that otherwise would be dead. So that was kind of a fun little thing I stumbled across on accident just because I was too curious.
Oh, that's really cool. That,
yeah.
You know, just find something like that. Yeah, there's lots, you know, I think almost everything that you discuss on yours I've never seen before. And like Rob said, I've definitely gone and looked for them, you know, after listening to you. It's really cool and interesting that they put this kind of stuff into the game.
Yep.
So what would you say are some of your favorite, like, top, or maybe like your top three must-see finds or locations or...
Wow. Okay, let's see. Top three. It's kind of hard to put them into like a top three, but I'll try to maybe break them out into three different type ones. So let's go with this.
You don't have to limit it to three. You could. I mean,
yeah. Give us 10.
Here we go.
Yeah,
we'll do like the Letterman's top 10.
All right. Let's see. We can add some in here. All right. One that it was like, this goes back to one of your questions, Rob. You said, well, do you actually stumble across something and kind of accidentally, or you think there's something here and there must be? Here's a good example of one. It's Croakin. There is on Cressorank Wilds, there's this island that's called, you know, Frog Island. And it's, you know, it's right now, if you go there, it is being used as the Horde of the Alliance hub for the daily quests that are part of that. Was it patch 0.2, 0.3? I don't know. Whatever. They had landfall there.
Yeah.
Okay. Not the very first patch. Yeah. It's the one where landfall is.
It was 0.2, I think.
Yeah, there you go. So once upon a time, though, there was nothing there. And it was just, there's a couple signs that are posted around that little small island with a frog. And it's covered in like three or four different species of frogs. Literally, it'd be one critters that you can kill in a heartbeat. And I thought, well, this is rather odd. So I started killing frogs and killing frogs and killing more frogs and killing more frogs. And suddenly, after some time, a giant frog appears in the middle of the island. And his name was Croakin. And he killed me instantaneously. And so I thought, what the heck just happened? And so it happened relative without too many kills of the small frogs. And then I tried to try this pattern over and over and over again, and I couldn't get it to respawn, or I couldn't figure out what pattern I did to make it happen. And truth is, if you travel to this island, it's covered with frogs, and I ended up figuring that about 5,000-ish small critter frog kills will automatically, or will spawn. There's a good chance that you're going to get a giant NPC frog called Croakin that uses, in about 20 seconds, will use one effect on you called Frog Justice and will kill you instantly.
Frog Justice?
Yeah. Oh. So it's the craziest thing. And it was all because I got too curious about all these frogs that were there. And the only thing I could figure is that the abundance of the little itty bitty frogs that are easy to kill make it really good for that guild achievement where you got to do kill a ton of critters.
Yeah. Oh, the critters, yeah.
Awesome. I'm telling you, all you got to do is bring your whole guild there, and you can just kill the frogs because they respawn almost instantly, and you can just kill dozens and hundreds and thousands easily within a matter of minutes. But I think it's one of those crazy little things that the programmers threw there that said, hey, every time you kill a frog, there's a 1% chance or less than 1% chance that the god of all frogs is going to appear and kill you.
That is awesome.
So, yeah, but it's like one of those fun little things that exists. And so nowadays, if in fact you accept the quest for landfall and to just start doing some of those dailies, the island transforms and you can no longer achieve it. So the way so what makes this thing less traveled or where kind of it is, is if you get one of your alts there, don't accept any of the quests. And so what will end up happening is the island will appear as it did when the expansion first came out, when Pandaria existed. So that's kind of what you got to do, is you got to do it with one of your alts that unfortunately did not start the landfall process. But that's one that's recent that you can definitely hit. It's kind of tucked away in game. Most players will never know it exists, and most players won't ever see Croakin. But yeah, if you want to get killed by a giant frog, there's your chance.
Awesome.
I want to experience Frog Justice.
Dude, you got to do it.
I'm going to take my priest
there.
It's great.
It's great times.
Yeah. I'm going to take my priest there. Totally. That's awesome.
So don't get frustrated, because it's easy to kill the little guys, but it takes a long time, because I think the percentage of him spawning is really low. But it's about 5,000 kills, and you'll be good to go.
Wow. Yeah.
That's awesome.
So yeah, that's one. Another one is like an oldie but goodie. It's at Karazhan. There's the Karazhan crypts that exist. So at Karazhan, outside of Karazhan, let me be clear, in that whole entire area, there's a lot of NPCs and things that are kind of roaming around the outside. But there's also a graveyard with a kind of like a crypt that you can walk down to. If you do, it's gated, and there's a swirling area as though it might be an instance or it might be something that you can go into, but you can't. What ends up happening is right there by Karazhan, I think the Blizzard developers had created an entire, either a five-man or a raid or some type of instance that was never put into game. It's still there. I don't recommend, or part of the show with Warcraft Less Traveled is we don't talk about hacks. We don't talk about anything that you're supposed to do that gets you banned. It's all about trying to explore what's out there naturally.
Right, okay.
And once upon a time, you can kind of bring one of your mounts and kind of summon a mount where you're near one of the walls, and it'll kind of kick you through it. It's how it used to work. But there's a couple ways that you can kind of still get into the Karazhan crypts, but it's creepy. It's this area that has a bunch of subzones that are named things like the Upside Down Sinner's Room, the Well of the Forgotten, the Slough of Despair, the Pit of Criminals. It's a really strange, kind of scary thing. There are no NPCs in it, but the whole vibe inside is really like a torture dungeon. And so there's a lot of, if you get a chance to either check online, I think a couple of people have taken some videos from the inside. And it's one of those really interesting things that does exist. Are they ever going to turn it into an instance or a dungeon? I don't really know. But it's still in game, and it's still one of those crazy places that might have been that they kind of abandoned the idea to at some point. But it's there.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I know you don't do the scandalous kind of stuff, but have you ever been into the Upside Down Karazhan?
Yeah, that's one and the same. Yep, that's the same place. Upside Down Sinner's Room. Yes, I have been there. It's the I don't know what to technically call it. It goes by the name of the Karazhan Crypt, the Upside Down Sinner's Room. It's that whole kind of sub area. But yeah, that's one and the same.
Wow, if we want to get all tinfoil hatty, they've apparently they've taken cobwebs and stuff. They've cleaned up Karazhan a bit. So maybe in Warlords, they'll put the crypt into the game.
Yeah. Yeah,
that'd be cool.
Let's do that. It's Karazhan. I don't know if you guys agree, but I love Karazhan.
It is my favorite raid instance or raid dungeon or whatever you want to call it. It is my favorite raid by far. And I wish there was more raids like it, because it's like you're storming a castle. Like, you got to work your way through there. And it was, you know, we did that when it was, well, I don't know if our guild did it when it was current. It might have been, well, we definitely did it in Crusades, but it might have been, you know, a patch or two behind that we did it. But anyway, it was the first raid that we did as a guild. So for that reason alone, it's always going to hold a special place for me. But it's just, it's epic in nature. Like, it's just, it's an amazing raid, and I really do wish there was more like it. I really do. Yeah.
Well, look at this. What's using your tinfoil hat possibility. What if, then, because everyone knows that the current Karazhan is kind of a face roll now. I mean, it's, you know, the epicness, other than it being just for nostalgia purposes, it's kind of lost. But what if, though, that the cleanup of Karazhan is all about for the new Warlords of Draenor? They're going to have Medivh somehow still parallel that crazy parallel universe that we are going to go to Karazhan in Warlords of Draenor, but a new-ish version of Karazhan where it's, you know, not cobwebbed. It's kind of a the way it used to be, where it was new and shiny and bright. So we might be able to go back to visit it at level, at current, whatever, the 100. And so I don't rule out the possibility that we're actually going to see the revamp as part of that. Not a redo, but kind of a freshen up version of it. That's something we can hit.
Well, if Warlords is really their attempt at capturing some of the feel and nostalgia and you know what everybody loved about Burning Crusade, then I think what better way to do that than to maybe revamp Karazhan and bring that back in as a raid. There's an overwhelming response that that is like one of everyone's favorite instances. So
right. There's just so much good about it, and to do it at level again without destroying the original in a lot of ways would be good. That's my opinion. But yeah, but hopefully maybe if the Karazhan crypt might be part of that, why not reuse some of that space? Let's make it happen. Blizzard, make it happen.
I don't know. Brimfondle doesn't quite seem to agree. He said that would annoy him unless the original was still available. I think the original will still be available, honestly.
I don't
think they're going to mess with the BC content.
Yep, I'm a fan of that. I don't want to do a Zul'aman, Zul'Gurub where it gets replaced.
No.
I would hope that you keep the one where that's a face roll that you can go back there for nostalgia purposes, but have a new way to get to it from the new Warlords of Draenor, you know, Draenor area. I don't know. But I don't want to destroy the original, but somehow give us the new, give us a fresh version, but don't ruin my memories here, kids.
Right.
So let me see. So that's Karazhan. Maybe I'll give you the other one that I think is kind of epic is the one that's in Tirith Fall Glades, that's in the northwestern section, that has this, it's kind of the fairy circle event where there's a ring of mushrooms that it's up in the mountains. The only way to get there is via flying, and there's no quest givers. It has nothing to do with the Undercity or any of the Forsaken, but there's this area that's forested, that there's a giant ring of mushrooms that are there, that every 6 hours, 4 to 6 hours, a strange event occurs where glowing light that looks like it could be coming from the Emerald Dream appears. And there's a very unique in-game music that plays. And over the time, over the six hours, different fae darter dragons appear, very similar to the mount that they just released, appear one at a time, one every 20 minutes, one every hour or so, that start appear that around the circle. And they all face the middle of the circle when the song starts, and for about 1 minute you get a song. The Fae Darter dragons are there. It's a really strange event that occurs, disappears, and ends. and then it starts all over again in the six or eight hours from there. It's a really cool event that exists in game for absolutely no reason that you just got to see.
If it's have you guys that long of a time circle, how the heck do you find that? Like, I wouldn't. Well, I don't think I would stick around for hours.
And it goes. Well, it goes back to my original thing. I'm a terrible MMO player. I'm just a terrible job. I don't play my class well. I don't raid well. I don't PvP well. So the only thing I kind of do well is log in and stand around. So I do that real well. And truth is that I'm flying around, and as part of the thing, I had seen the giant circle of mushrooms, and I swear to you that one of the times I had been to that area, the Fae-Darter dragons, those blue and red and kind of pretty dragons that exist, weren't there. And I had flown by this area at another time, and there were four or five of these dragons flying around the mushroom. And I said, whoa, this is different. And so I stopped and looked around, tried to click on them. They're friendly. I'm going, what the heck is this? And of course, you know me, I can't leave anything well enough alone. And I waited and waited. And suddenly another dragon appeared. I thought, no, that just didn't happen. And I waited more time, kind of just sitting there. Another dragon appeared. And suddenly all these dragons started appearing. And in the meantime, I'm trying to look online for something about this event. There was nothing. There was nothing online. There was no help. And so I waited and waited and waited. And eventually there was, I think, eight dragons. And after 6 hours, all the dragons faced the center of the mushroom ring and songs started to play. I thought, holy cow, what am I witnessing? And what's going to happen? Is a giant world boss going to appear? Or what's going to happen here? And kind of nothing happened. So I thought, well, I don't know. I can't find anything online. There's no documentation on Wowhead. There's nothing that helps me know what I saw. So I started kind of researching it myself and kind of planting myself there and timing the dragon spawns and that kind of stuff. And so I, recorded what I could and kind of documented what I could. And it just so happened to be one of those just strange things that exists in game that you can check out. And there's absolutely no reason why it's in game at all, but it's cool.
There's another one like that.
Great.
That
just, yeah.
Well, there's one that's similar, like for no reason at all, that I've tried to find after listening to your segment, but it's,
yeah.
I believe it's around Mulgor. The up on one of the plateaus, the rats and squirrels that take up swords and fight each other. See, I heard that first about that on your podcast. And I've looked for it, but I've never been able to find it.
Oh, dude, battle tag me. I'll show you. No, it is one of those strange subzones. I don't know what else to call it. It's you got Mulgore, and then whatever the zone is that's above that. What's that one called? It's the stony one.
Stone Talon.
Stone Talon. So the zones aren't exact. Kind of when they built them initially, they kind of put giant mountains and plateaus and things that you originally weren't supposed to get to. But it's on this high plateau between Mulgor and Stone Talon that what's really odd is in that area, just that small little subzone, little plateau, there are rats and rabbits and I think something else that are running around. They're just little normal rodents. There's nothing special about them. But if you follow them for a while, every once in a while, they'll suddenly morph into little rats that have little army helmets and little with like little skull army helmets, and that they end up battling each other, that they have a little PvP battle amongst themselves. It's the funkiest thing you'd ever see. But yeah, so go to Mulgore, and it's the north section of Mulgore, northwest between it and the next zone. If you get to the next zone, you've gone too far. So it's just this little small area that's got just strange little things that clearly the developers were given some time and given some leeway to, brainstorm on some fun things to add into all the areas of the world that once upon a time you couldn't get to.
Right.
You just couldn't have a flat area with nothing. But it's definitely – check it out if you get a chance to again.
Yeah, I definitely want to. Like, I've looked a couple times and whenever I've been over there, but – I'm hardly over there now, and
right.
There's no reason to go there now. But yeah, I'll definitely have to look for that again, because that's one I really do want to see. It just sounds so neat and something. Yeah, that there's no point to it. There's no reason it's in the game other than the developers just trying to be silly for just for our enjoyment, which is it's kind of cool that they do stuff like that.
Yeah. One of the things I keep hoping for, every patch that comes out, I kind of do a giant circle tour of, almost all the different zones to try to see if there's anything new that has popped out. And I'm telling you, I know that with the advent of Wowhead and all the other database mining, MMO champion and, name your favorite, nothing is a mystery anymore. Nothing is sacred. Nothing is invisible or absolutely a surprise anymore. But I'm telling you, I still like the thought of the secret quests or the ones that maybe you could only get to if you're dead. So, for example, you could only see certain NPCs and that exists in game if you're dead. But I think it would be kind of neat that if you're, in fact, killed, died, and you're walking around, that maybe you could only get certain quests from certain quest givers that are ghosts like yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Things like that, I think, are fun. But it's kind of hard to hide those in game and make them kind of special without knowing.
Yeah, the way data mining goes now, I suppose that kind of takes away some of the mystery. But
right. And there's, especially with all these places, and when I was starting out, it wasn't that I'm doing anything that's special or unique. It's just a case of, once upon a time, there wasn't a lot of websites that had easily found information. It was just, I don't really know what I'm seeing. I don't know if this is well-known or not well-known. It's just, I'm going to document it, and here's something silly, and let me see if anyone else has seen it too.
Now, you're obviously onto something, because, you've been doing this for a while, and there's a whole ton of people who appreciate it. You've been able to make a podcast out of it, and you're finding all these little hidden things that are, they're just stinking awesome.
No, thanks. Yeah, it's fun, and there's the good thing about this, too, is, although I named just a few there, the fun part of it is, we kind of alluded to it. This is the time to kind of hit your alts. This is the time to start leveling some of your alts and do things at the end of the game. It's the end of the expansion. What else are you going to do? And I'm telling you, this is probably the time that as I log into game, besides trying to level some of my alts, this is the time that I do a lot of the exploration, that I've done most of the quests. I've experienced most of this X-Pack. So I should be able to go around the different areas and kind of notate all the things that I know that aren't part of a quest chain, that aren't part of some kind of known event or known process. And so this I almost see as my fun, my personal alternate ending to the game. Some people raid, some people do the achievements. Mine's exploration. Mm-hmm. And so that's going to be kind of my thing that I'll probably do between now and Warlords of Draenor. More of the same.
So how many alts do you have leveled up?
Let's see. I have two tanks. I have a warrior and a paladin that are currently at 90. And the only other ones that really count is I have a shaman that is, I think, 86. And Skolnik, who is my terrible boomkin, who is at 89 right now. And he's the one I've been kind of paying attention to. So truth be told, there's probably four or five true tunes that have any real merit in terms of levels. Everything else is like 30 and below. In which I know pales in comparison to you, Robin.
No, because no, me. There's like me and WoW Mardian that are just stupid.
Oh yeah. So jeez.
do you have any goals before Warlords comes out? Were you wanting one of each, or do you care, or do you want Are you wanting to get through LFR or Flex? Or
it's kind of odd. I thought for sure that I would be really gangbusters about trying to get through all of the last raid here, and I'm not digging it too much. I really enjoyed Flex raiding with the guild that I'm with, and that'll do at any time. That's a lot of fun, but I don't want to do LFR. Which is probably the most convenient thing I can do at this point. I could easily jump into game, kind of kick that out, see the end game expansion or see the end game raid content. But I'm not really jazzed to do it, and I'm surprised at myself for not kind of feeling it. But you know, maybe by the end, I'll definitely want to see it all and experience it all. But instead, I'm going back to leveling alts. I'll probably try to finish my farm, which I've done a terrible job at thus far. I haven't pet battled. I tried it just so I can see what it was about, but I really didn't level a whole lot of pets. I do like PvP, and I could see myself easily kind of sinking back into the PvP mode for a while, exploring that maybe with my tank and maybe with my my boomkin a little bit. So just a little bit of that at the end game, but that's about not a whole lot of rating for me.
Yeah, you mentioned Flex, though. That personally, I think that was the best thing they've ever added to this game.
Yes, yeah, I do agree with you.
It is amazing. Absolutely amazing, that feature. And we're definitely taking...
We're huge fans of Flex.
We're taking full advantage of it in our little guild and raid team.
Yeah. And you mentioned early on about, you know, some people liking, you know, they liked part one, they didn't like part two, they liked part three. And it's difficult to get those people if you have different players rolling in and out of your Flex team. And that's sometimes a difficult thing to do. But yeah, I couldn't agree more. Flex is the future. They implemented it well. It's properly tuned. It's definitely makes it a lot easier to you know, hey, you and I aren't, you know, three of us aren't on the same, well, you guys might be, but like I'm not on the same realm as you, but it makes it possible that we could still link up and you can get people that you do know to raid with. And it doesn't have to be that stranger experience that LFR tends to be.
Well, yeah, that's exactly it. Like we've got, you know, a couple other podcasters regularly join our raid team. A couple of people have met on Twitter. Like my cousin, for instance, has been playing this game since release like I have. And I only found out he's been playing, that he even played, I think it was, 2 years ago? But now he's raiding with us on our Flex team, which is awesome, where that wasn't, it wasn't a viable option before, where he was in a guild that wasn't raiding, or wasn't raiding often, and, you know, we just did normal, like in Cataclysm. But we'd both been established in our guilds for such a long time that it just wasn't feasible or realistic to transfer. But now with Flex, like, he's able to join our raids all the time as well, and that's awesome, I think.
Yeah.
All right, so you want to lead us into this next part here. This is something I think you had wanted to bring up, so we'll let you take the lead on this as well, if you'd like.
Sure, no problem at all. Yeah, as I was, we were talking about Warcraft Less Traveled, and what am I going to do in the next group of months besides leveling alts, and that's exploration. Now, we all seem to have our end of expansion cycle plans in place. Mine is maybe a little bit of exploration. I mentioned I would like to get more into PvP. I haven't even touched pet battles yet. I mean, I've not even really done anything. I'm not an achievement person, so that really doesn't play much for me. If exploration is kind of one of my main goals, what are you guys, besides leveling the alts that you've been doing all along, what are your plans for end game? Like now that we're at the end of the expansion, you know, you've already worked on your mains, you're doing flex rating. Do you see yourself between now and the release of Warlords of Draenor? Is it going to be flex rating to the end, or kind of what's on your agendas between now and the next release? How do you spend your time?
I hope it doesn't take us to the end to finish the flex raid, but I'm not saying it's completely outside the realm of possibility either.
Right.
Yeah, I'll probably level a couple. My druid's sitting at 86, but I'm just not a fan of druids. I might level it. One thing I definitely want to do is relearn paladin heals. I really enjoyed that in Cataclysm. Mm-hmm. I did a bit. My paladin's at 90. I did a bit early on in the expansion for healing, but then just kind of let it fall to the wayside. So I kind of want to get back into that as well. I'll probably do some achievement hunting. Cool. You know, as we get closer to the end of this expansion, PvP, I'm not going to touch it because it's PvP and yeah. Pet battles. I might do some more pet battles. Right now I have my highest team is level 19. I think I got to level 19 in back in like March, and I haven't looked at them since. So,
yeah.
But yeah, you know, kind of a mix of everything, depending on how much time I have to play as well. So,
Well, with that, I could say this is that with the recent announcement at BlizzCon that they're going to do the garrisons as a kind of a new player housing plus thing that they're going to put in the game. I know you guys may or may not have some any excitement about it at all. I wouldn't call it exciting, but what I see them doing is the right thing, which is giving us more game within a game. So just like I mentioned that I haven't been doing pet battles, you're getting ready to maybe do some more achievement runs. This is something else that they can build on without question. That was the farm on steroids. So even if you weren't a fan of farming, they got now this garrison thing where you can, okay, you do your raiding, you do all your stuff, you do all your questing, you were at end game. Okay, now what? I can either level alts, or why don't I see if I can level up my garrison or build these henchmen that are going to be able to run some errands for you and do some crafting for you. Now, from what I was able to witness at BlizzCon, they're still kind of working out the kinks and trying to design in the kind of the design phase of everything, but I'm excited for the fact that they're really taking a giant step forward in giving us more content, alternate content that you can do at endgame. And so my question then to you is, with that, are you at all excited, or what are your initial thoughts about garrisons, or at least the announcement of garrisons? Is it something you're going to be willing to do, willing to try, or ho-hum? What are your thoughts?
Rob, what right are your now? Thoughts?
After I get the legendary cloak on all of my level 90s.
Yeah.
No, I will not do that. I, at the time, am not at all looking forward to garrisons. I thought the farm was cool.
So you did like farming, okay.
I liked it at first, and then it got to the point where I was doing it on all of my alts, and I just kind of got tired of it, and now I'm still doing it on, like, one or two or three guys, depending on if I need mats for something. So, like, right now, that's a real, real easy way to get cloth, and I've got several, two or three of the 553 cloth patterns, so I'm doing the daily cooldowns for those, you know, so I can make different pieces for alts. And in all honesty, it's really, really pointless. I'm not raiding on any alts other than LFR, and it doesn't matter. But it's, you know, still, it's a little bit of a meta game for me to be able to gear up my alts. So, but when it comes to the garrisons, I'm kind of not really like it. I'm gonna have to see it in action, honestly. Right. Like, just my initial impression, I don't care at all. I really don't. Something will happen. Where I'll be like, oh my gosh, that's awesome. Yes, I need to do that on 20 of my alts.
Yeah, you need to earmark this show. So like a year from now, when you're going, my God, I love the garrisons. Garrisons are my thing.
But
think of it this way. Okay, you say you like farming. I know it is what it is. But with Mists of Pandaria farming, the farming will forever stay right there. Garrisons, the way if they design it right, gives us the opportunity to kind of do the farm plus other stuff. And it will be movable. So as future expansions come out, hopefully they'll build the engine where they can just say, well, I've had it here in this subzone for a while. I'm going to now transfer it to the new, whatever the new expansion's underwater zone is, or the outer space zone, or wherever we end up going.
Yeah.
The idea is that you kind of don't lose all that work where you built your farm, and then, all right, I'm never going to be here again. I'm going to do the new version of the farm in the next expansion. That's kind of cool. I'm excited that my time isn't going to be lost potentially, and that it will have a nice little meta in game that, you know, time will tell, but I'm kind of excited that it's the farm plus that we'll be able to actually make happen. So I'm hoping for the best.
I think there's, I mean, the little that I've seen, there's going to be some really cool stuff. And, mm-hmm. you know, I'm excited at the idea of being able to, you know, send your followers out to go do things for you. And I don't know at to what level this is really gonna work, though. Are you gonna, I mean, are, if you're able to send them out to go raid for you and they'll bring you back gear, you know, I mean, we have yet to see this stuff. You know, if that's the case, then yeah, definitely interested. If it's just a farm on crack, then I don't know how much I'll really spend investing in it.
Yeah, it'll be not a farm. When I'm saying farm plus, it's everything that player housing can kind of be, where you have a central location to have other stuff, other, you can maybe do your pet battles there, and sending your henchmen out to gather you supplies and gather questing and bring back gold for you. Just something else to do in game when we're looking for time killers. And it's more content is better than less.
Yeah, definitely.
Yep. So that's my hopes for the garrisons. And I'm just now very happy and looking forward to Rob giving us a thumbs up about a year and a half now.
Oh my God, garrisons.
That's right. You heard it here first.
All right. Well, is there any last points or anything else you want to mention regarding all these out of the way places before we start wrapping things up here?
Not necessarily. Just everyone, keep your eyes open, and it's times like between now and endgame that, with the small patches, don't be surprised if you start seeing some random NPCs and just other little, I don't know, textures of and flavor added to the different subzones. Just, you know, so although everyone's busy raiding and doing other things, always keep your eyes open, because they're always dropping little things in game, especially before the release of big expansions.
All right. Well, we have a new crowd control this week, so we're going to play that now, because I know everyone has missed Kim. I actually got a preview, so I've heard this already. Suckers. Anyway, here you go.
Hi everyone, welcome back to Crowd Control PvP segment. It's been a while since we last spoke, but in between we've had BlizzCon, and you guys that attended that sounded like you had an absolute blast, and I'm very jealous. But there was also a bunch of fantastic announcements, so we're going to discuss some of the PvP ones today. So stick around and I hope you enjoy. There was a few very cool changes and new world PvP zones that were announced over the BlizzCon weekend. Let's talk about the PvP aisle first. It's very cool. It's called Azran, and it's just off the northeast coast of the Tainan jungle. Blizz have given us an opportunity basically to have an ongoing region PvP battle with no start and no end. There's going to be constantly evolving objectives for participants that take part, and use of vehicles and items to collect, and creatures to summon, and lots of actions in multiple different levels. As far as I know, the aisle is going to be aimed at level cap players, but you will be able to go there at lower levels, which is odd. But if you fancy your chances, you can go, but it's not recommended. It's not an instance battle, so you can just head there and start to join in. And when you join the battle, you'll be presented with the objectives. These depend on what battle status is at the moment when you join. Obviously, the closer you get to an enemy base, the harder the tasks are going to get. As you can imagine, the objectives will change pretty regularly, depending on what's going on at the zone at that time. Now, there's not any cap to how many players can take part in this, and it will be a cross-realm enabled zone, so this means that there is the opportunity to make it a never-ending battle, which is pretty good. So it doesn't take any stretch of the imagination to think that I'm going to be spending a lot of time here. Blizz have changed up the Battleground scoreboard a little bit and added a new player performance score referred to as Battleground score. This gives a little bit more insight into the player's actual performance during the BG. It takes into account objective-based gameplay that you choose or not to engage in, like returning flags, interrupting caps, and healing and damage done, etc., all accumulated into one score. They've also updated the UI to include flag timers and other objective timers that can be viewed on the map with additional info, which basically means you won't need to use deadly boss mods anymore in Battlegrounds, in theory anyway. You might remember a while back I said that I'd really love Blizzard to implement some sort of reward system where PvP players get something like gold for doing our daily BGs. Well, we've gotten close enough. We'll get extra random rewards like PvP set items, random BOEs and consumables, all that sort of thing that you can sell on or trade or DE, all that sort of good stuff. And I'm quite happy with that. That's better than nothing at all. Alright, lastly, I want to talk to you a little bit about the Trial of the Gladiator, which is a new arena ladder that's going to be introduced in Warlords of Draenor. It's a skill-based arena, and it's built on the same sort of system that they use for the Arena Tournament Realm, and players that participate will be able to enter, purchase gear, enchantments, gems from a vendor, and then put it all on and get stuck in. There will be equal gear for everyone, so everyone will be wearing the same sort of level gear, and you basically have to rely on your skills to win. You can queue for it at any time, but there is a catch. You'll only be able to earn rating during specific days and times of the week where rating competition opens up. So you can practice all day, but rating will depend on whether you're playing during rated competition time. I don't have a clue when these days or times are likely to be, but it could present a problem for some players that has been brought up on Twitter, you know, different time zones like myself, or people that have work commitments. But I do still like the premise of it, and I know that if I wanted to take part, I could work it in somehow. But however, I like it. It's pretty good. So, there you have it. Everything I know right now about the PvP updates for the next expansion. It's highly likely that they'll be tweaked a bunch of times before release, but at the moment this sounds pretty good. I'm pretty stoked for it. And more content for us PvP players is never a bad thing. And rewards? Sweet. Anyway, that's it for this week. I'll be back next week with some more PvP chat. Until then, you can tweet me PvP questions or comments, and you'll find the details for contacting me on thetrainingdummies.com contact us page. Until next time, have an epic week.
All right, so we're going to try a new segment here. Basically, the thought is this. You can learn things from the training dummies, or you can learn things the hard way.
Don't try to tank in healing gear.
Unclaimed mail will be deleted after 30 days.
Always check your loot spec before a boss fight.
Things I learned the hard way.
I think I've brought this up enough on the show that it was high time we just made a segment out of it. So, things that I learned the hard way this week, or since we last recorded, I jumped onto a druid that I have on another server, and I was like, I'm going to level this guy up. He's 85, he's fairly geared out from Dragon Soul stuff, you know, I'm gonna do this. So I didn't even think, I didn't even give it a second thought. I'm like, I'm just going to go, I haven't even gone to Pandaria yet, I haven't even done that opening thing, I just queued straight up for a dungeon. Well, if you haven't jumped on a tune since Mr. Pandaria launched, a lot of things have changed. The talent system has changed, the glyphs have changed, a lot of your skills and spells and abilities have changed. So when you go rushing in to tank a dungeon, just because you know how to tank a dungeon doesn't mean that particular tune is ready to tank a dungeon. So I went balls to the wall in there on my druid, who was not even really in a properly set up to do anything, and I couldn't figure out why I was the worst tank I'd ever seen in my life. So things I learned the hard way. Just double check your tunes if you haven't jumped on them in a while to see where they're at and make sure you got things lined up, because you're gonna ruin everyone's day if you don't. So, I don't know if you guys have any anything to contribute for
for this segment or not. Skolnick, do you have anything that you've learned the hard way recently?
The only thing I can probably add to that is a little bit of piggyback on what you're stating about if you're revisiting some alts you haven't seen in a while. Things that I could learn, I've learned the hard way recently, is to kind of do a quick summary of what the class is supposed to do. Some of these tunes I'm trying to touch now, it's been months. It's been since the last expansion. Yeah. So they're sitting there. And a lot of the spells and a lot of the things that I used to take for granted as being the primary things to drive that class home, that doesn't matter anymore. You know, especially with a balanced druid, I was like, I don't know what half these buttons really do anymore. And so just taking the time to kind of just read a summary of what I'm supposed to do probably it really helped me a long way after experiencing a couple terrible quests gone wrong, a couple of five mans that went south really quickly because I don't know what I'm doing. But so that's probably something to recommend to everybody, is just if you haven't touched the tune in a while, read a summary, kind of get a feel for what you're supposed to be doing, and then you'll feel a lot better once you get in there and do it for real.
Well, part of why it's in the bumper, I did learn the hard way. Mail will be deleted after 30 days. It will be deleted. After the BlizzCon announcement of heirlooms now being a actual bind on account, I wanted to take stock of all the heirlooms that I do have, get them all consolidated on one tune, and since I've capped on justice for a long time now, you know, start buying the pieces I'm missing just so I have them. And in doing that, I know at one point I had a full set of cloth heirloom gear, and I had mailed it to an alt that I was planning to level, and I don't have it anymore. I am missing a full set of heirloom cloth gear. I know I had it because I used it to level my warlock, and it is gone now. So I have learned the hard way that mail will indeed be deleted after 30 days if you do not retrieve it. So yeah, that kind of stung a little bit, but I'll know better for next time.
Right.
All right. Any more things you guys learned the hard way, or are we ready to start wrapping this up?
I could go on, but I'd probably ought to save them for later segments.
They're endless.
Oh, yes, yes, they are. All right, well, it's time for this, and how I miss this. Hey, don't matter that you're out of town. He's got some shooters to send over. So let's turn it all around and scoot in. All right, hand love. I need to send some hand love to our guildies, the Hoarderlies, and on the Deathwing server, as well as everyone that has joined us on our Flex team in the last couple of months. There's been quite a few, and I can't remember everyone, so I'm not going to try and mention everyone. Of course, I got to send some hand love to Megan for that awesome hand love intro, and I need to send some hand love to Kim, Syl, Absana, and Hathor for all providing the voices for the Things I Learned the Hard Way bumper. They all were very kind and quickly said yes when I asked them to record something for me. So that was awesome. Much hand love to all you guys. Rob.
Thanks, guys, for just being patient and showing up tonight, especially after we took a short hiatus, and we had some technical difficulties tonight. So everyone who's in the chat room tonight, thanks for coming out and hanging out. And we got Hind and I have some really cool stuff planned, and some really cool guests in the pipeline, and we're gonna get back on it for you. So thanks to Hind for being my bro host. Thanks for everybody showing up, and thank you Skolnick for showing up.
Oh, that was, Hen love to Skullnik too.
That was a long time in the making. I know.
Yeah.
Like I was saying earlier, I've listened to your segments and shows for a long, long, long time. So it's really cool to have you on our show.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
How about you, Skullnik?
Oh, hen love time for me. Well, first of all, to both of you guys for having me on. It's been fun. It's been a lot of fun, and we finally made our time and connection to make this happen. So this was great. Hen love goes out, and a sincere thank you to everyone I met at BlizzCon last month. It was really great to put faces to voices. A lot of these people I'd only heard on podcasts and finally got to meet in person. And even the more fun thing was to put some faces to avatars that I got to know on Twitter. It's just amazing to see people animated.
Yeah.
Someone would say, "Hey, I'm so-and-so." And I go, "Well, the name sounds familiar. Can you?" And I bring up Twitter and I go through and go, "Oh, that's what you look like, a little fire mage." Oh, that's awesome. This is you. Well, there was nothing more fun than awesome. That. And one extra little special hen love goes out to the people that I spent the most time with, and that was the crew at Dark Moon Herald. So Epsana, Kevin, and Walsh, I had an incredible time, and you kind of made the entire event fun because spending all my time with you out there and meeting all the different people and experiencing the different things and dying really well in the five-man dungeon together, that was really good. But had a really great time, and I know you guys didn't get a chance to go out to BlizzCon, but if you ever get a chance to make the pilgrimage and the timing is right, it's one of those things that's worth doing at least once to just kind of take it all in and make it happen. So it was a lot of fun.
The next one. I'm going to
the next one.
Yeah. All right. 5-star reviews. We had one. It's been sitting there for a while. It's just we haven't had a show. But anyway, you can find the show on iTunes, so please consider giving us a review, good, bad, or otherwise. And Stitcher Radio, in which you can give us a thumbs up. This week, the 5-star is from Delorfin. Fantastic show as Warlocks Rock. Hey, Argbuckle, Demonology Warlock from AIE on Earth and Ring. I've been listening to the show since the beginning. However, Amy Jade's pontificating on demonology finally drove me to write this review. It was fantastic and detailed. No, he did not put me to sleep. I'm trying to transcribe his words, so I try and improve my rotation. Thanks again for a great show. Yes, I agree. He definitely did not put anyone to sleep. That was an awesome display of warlock knowledge and enthusiasm. It was... It kept us excited about the show as well, just listening to him excitedly talk about them. It was fantastic. And thanks for the review, and thanks for listening. Before we wrap this episode up, Skullnik, why don't you let everyone know where they can reach you, stalk, follow, like, or send hen love to you?
Awesome, great. The easiest way to follow my absolute ridiculous ramblings would be on Twitter, and that's at Skolnik Who, SKOLNICKWHO. And I have three podcasts that kind of roll around, and the first one is Warcraft Less Traveled, and that is at warcraftlesstraveled.com. And that's about all the interesting, strange, and mysterious places around Azeroth. Second podcast is Warcraft Well Read. It is the World of Warcraft Book Club. So if you're into the Warcraft novels and like the lore part of the aspect of the game, you don't have to be an expert. I'm not. And I do it with Epsana, and the two of us don't, we're learning just like all the other noobs. We're working our way through the novels and trying to learn a little bit more about the game. So check that out at warcraftwellread.com. And last but not least is the awesome podcast of Dark Moon Herald, Kevin Walsh, Epsana. And they let me couch crash from time to time, and we talk Warcraft on that show, and that's at darkmoonherald.com.
Rob, awesome. You're green.
I'm green. I know, because I'm a monk. gosh. You guys. Episode 54 of the Training Dummies has finally come to an end, but don't be sad. You can push play again, and again, and again. You can follow our Twitter, though... What?
Yeah, we need to rewrite this. We changed a bunch of the other
follow
stuff
us on
but
Twitter.
We never, we didn't get this far on the show notes.
I know our Twitter handles here. We're at you can follow the show at Training Dummies. I am at Rob Copeland. Hind is at Hind_Horderlies, and Kim is at Kim Scally.
So until next time, don't be a dummy.
Woo! Woo!
Let us take the beating for you.
Woo! Woo!